Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Please remain upstanding for the opening prayer and reconciliation statement. Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council. Direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve. Amen. Amen. Mountain City Council acknowledges that the land it now occupies has a history that began with its Indigenous occupants, the Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people and their elders and descendants, past and present. And I pay my respects. Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you. Can they hear me? Do I need to move it? Or? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, again, welcome this evening. We have a number of councillors that aren't feeling the best, but they're in full attendance. What's the matter, Councillor Hardy? Issue with the microphone? Okay. And so some of them have requested to remain seated, which I've granted because we will try and others are having an attempt at the new computer system. So I'll go as patiently and as slowly as I can to accommodate their needs. All right. Thank you and welcome for coming out on a nice cold day. Apologies and leave of absence.
No apologies this evening, Madam Mayor.
Changes to the order of business?
No changes, Madam Mayor.
Deputations?
And no deputations.
Declaration of any pecuniary interest, other interest or conflict of interest of any councillor?
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Ibushi.
Madam Mayor, while it's not technically a conflict of interest, when we reach item 19.3 of the agenda under confidential business, I'll be moving a procedural motion that I'll be excused from the chamber by reason of a conflicting personal interest in relation to the Melbourne Regional Landfill Expansion issue of planning permit matter. Right. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. That item again is at item
19.3.
Madam Mayor.
Thank you.
I've just realised I do have a conflict in one of the items. I'll just check and I'll know which one.
Okay. What no, item number, sorry, Ken? 19.4, was it?
12.4.
Okay. Councillor Turner, have you had a chance to...
No, Madam, I'm still looking for the which number it is. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Is it in the earlier stages, Councillor Turner, or the latter stages? I'm just fumbling, trying to not go further, just in case it's one of the initial ones. Okay. The adoption and confirmation of the previous minutes, Councillor Maidlich.
Madam Mayor, hang on.
It's on, love.
I'd like to move that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on the 29th of May 2017 be confirmed as a true and correct record.
The motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Maidlich. Is there a seconder for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to second that. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Carling. Sorry, and I've written Councillor Lara on. Okay, the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Maidlich, seconded by Councillor Carling. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. Okay. Okay, sorry. I was getting a bit befuddled. No, not found. Okay, 7.1, record assembly of councillors with section 80A1 of the Local Government Act 1989. Councillor Madeley.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that the record of assembly of councillors dated 29th of May, 5th of June, 13th of June and 19th of June 2017 attached to this agenda be received and noted.
Thank you, Councillor Madelick. Do I have a seconder for the motion before us?
I'd like to second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Madelick, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. Correspondence inwards. Parliamentary and departmental letters received by the Mayor. Okay, I'll quickly just go. The first one's by Natalie Hutchins, MP, State Member for Sydenham. It was in regards to the National Partnership Agreement for the Universal Early Years Childhood Education beyond 2017. And it says, I'm committed to improving early childhood outcomes in my electorate of Sydenham. I agree the access of 15 hours per week of quality kindergarten is vital to the wellbeing of outcomes of our community. I would like to take this opportunity to thank Melton City Council's support of delivery 15 hours per week of high quality kindergarten. And then it just basically goes on. The next letter is from the Senator, the Honourable Fiona Nash. And it's in regards to the Turnbull-Joyce Coalition Government is delivering for councils. It's talking about the financial assistance grants for 2017. Can you hear me if I stand? No? Yes? 17 and 18, where they've invested $2.4 billion growing it to almost $2.6 billion the years 2019-20. The financial assistance grants helps councils such as Melton, and Melton's done exceedingly well from them over the last number of years as a growth corridor. And that's basically reinforcing their commitment to that. So could I get someone to move...
Yes, Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that the parliamentarian and departmental letters received by the Mayor be received and noted.
Thank you. Is there a seconder for that recommendation?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Madelick and Councillor Carley. They're the only two, I think, that are fit enough to stand up. Thank you very much. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Madelick, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. Okay, we'll now move on to petitions and joint letters. Neil? Okay, resumption of debate or other business.
No held over debate or business, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Okay, public question time, and I'll pass over to the CEO, Mr. Calventori.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We have four public questions this evening, and the first question is from Mr. Robert Nielsen. Mr. Nielsen is in the gallery. This question reads, is it possible the Engineering Design Department look at the speed hump lengths standards as they are too short and cars do not slow down for them, i.e. outside CFA station in Henry Street is just one example. Increase the length by 200 millimetres would help slow vehicles. And Mr. Luke Shannon, our General Manager of Planning and Development, will provide a response.
Thank you, Bob, for your question. The standard in relation to speed humps is actually a national standard, national engineering standard, so they're the speed humps that council designs for installation throughout the municipality are based on a national standard. I'm happy to have one of our engineers discuss with you what those standards are and talk about some options in terms of addressing some of the specific issues that you're raising regarding traffic speed. Thank you.
Second question from Mr. Nielsen reads, with the increasing use of plastic shopping bags and the environmental damage caused by them, can Council offer a pamphlet in, say, the rates notice of possible disposal sites for return of bags for reuse? The larger supermarkets, I believe, have a recycle service, and if there are others, can Council advise? Again, Mr. Shannon.
Thank you, Bob, for your question. It's true, and obviously with the increasing amount of packaging with packaged foods, it does create a significant impost on waste disposal, and a significant amount of the red bin each week is actually full of those types of plastic. So it certainly is an important issue in terms of improving people's capacity to dispose of those somewhere other than landfill. The main recipient of those recycled plastics is, as you point out, major supermarkets. They do have, albeit not necessarily always well displayed, disposal opportunities at the supermarket front entrance. We are developing a program where we further promote that. Whether that's further brochures with rates probably warrants some investigation, because we don't want to further create litter that might be disposed in terms of those pamphlets. But clearly there's an opportunity to further promote the opportunities to dispose of recycle or plastic for recycling rather than seeing it go to landfill. Thank you.
Next question, Madam Mayor, is from David O'Connor, and David is also in the gallery. His first question reads, a Sunbury resident is keen to establish a soccer club in Diggers Rest. It's understood that the resident has had some preliminary discussions with council officers regarding potential sites for a soccer club. Given the population forecast for Diggers Rest, does council consider that the township can sustain a soccer club, and what is required to establish one? So Coral Cremiri, our Acting General Manager of Community Services, will respond.
Thank you, David, for your question. Can you hear?
Yep.
In 2017-18 financial year, Council plans to undertake an active participation survey which will measure the physical activities engagement in by the Melton City residents. Understanding these trends will allow Council to be informed, make informed decisions regarding current and future provision of parks, active and passive sport and leisure facilities. Council has a process of supporting new club establishment and works closely with peak sporting associations to ensure that the approach is coordinated and fits the strategic direction of the association in the area. Thank you for your question.
And the final public question this evening, also from Mr. O'Connor, reads, under the Airports Act 1996, Melbourne Airport is required every 5 years to prepare a master plan to guide the development of the airport for the next 20 years. The next master plan will be developed in 2018. It's understood that Council has provided feedback to the draft master plans in recent years. Would Council please provide me with a copy of the submissions in response to the 2008 and 2013 draft master plans? And again, Luke Shannon will respond.
Thank you, David, for your question. As you rightfully point out, Melbourne Airport Corporation do prepare a master plan. They're required to do so by legislation every 5 years to guide the future development of the airport and the associated airfields. Council generally does make a submission to each of those draft master plans, and we'd be happy to provide you with a copy of the last two submissions. Thank you.
And that concludes public questions, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. Thank you to the respondents as well. Okay, we'll move on to the presentation of staff reports.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that Council block report items 12.1, 12.2, 12.4, 12.11, 12.15, 12.17, 12.19, 12.20, 12.22 and 12.23 and accept officers' recommendations as is written in the report.
Councillor Madelick, I'd love to say thank you, but Councillor Hardy has upset the apple cart by calling an indirect conflict to 12.4.
Oh, yes. Sorry, Madam Mayor.
No, it wasn't your fault.
And is any of the ones that I've asked for a direct conflict for Councillor Turner's report?
I'm not sure. He hasn't.
No? Okay. So, scrap what... Well, let's take what I said. I don't want to repeat myself.
Minus
the 12.4. Ask for Council to move in block with officer's recommendation, but just make a note for our members in the gallery that report 12.20 has a coroner's finding around pool fencing, and anyone with a swimming pool, I'd recommend that you please check on Council's website for the latest regulations. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Madelick. Is there a seconder for that procedural motion?
I'd like a seconder, thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ibushi. Okay, the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Madelick, seconded by Councillor Ibushi. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. We will now move on to item number 12.3. This report will be brought to us by our General Manager for Planning and Development, Mr. Luke Shannon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report relates to a petition regarding a proposed speed hump or speed humps in Fieldstone Way, Brookfield. Council might recall that at the 3rd of April 2007 ordinary meeting, a petition was tabled which contained 27 signatories from residents within Fieldstone Way, and the petition stated that this is a petition from the community of Brookfield requesting speed humps be installed in Fieldstone Way. It is a long straight street, and since development the traffic has increased. There is also a park where children play. One tragic death has occurred already. Madam Mayor, councillors will be aware of the unfortunate situation earlier this year where there was a fatality in the street where a young school child was hit crossing the road. If I can refer councillors to Appendix 1 and 2, that provides an overall plan of the precinct, and you can see that there's a significant reserve on one side of Fieldstone Way. Fieldstone Way is actually a relatively short street. It's around about 350 metres in length, albeit a very straight road, north of Black Dog Drive in Melton South. It has a default speed limit of 50 kilometres per hour, which is quite typical of residential streets in the municipality. The council's engineering area have undertaken investigation of traffic movements within the street and took a count over a seven-day period in late April of this year. The count demonstrated that there were on average 167 vehicles per day travelling along the road, so it's not a hugely busy road, but relatively significant levels of traffic. The average speed at which vehicles are travelling was 85% of vehicles were travelling at either 45 kilometres per hour or less, so in other words, traffic's actually relatively slow moving compared to the speed limit, or the majority of traffic is. Madam Mayor, in the circumstances that presented in this particular situation, it's proposed that a pedestrian crossing, an unformalised one, so not a priority pedestrian crossing, but a pedestrian crossing be provided as shown in the appendix. That would serve as both a opportunity for residents to cross the street safely to and from the park, and would also serve in the form of a traffic speed hump and slow traffic down accordingly. So the recommendation is as presented, Madam Mayor, which is also recommending that the lead signatory of the petition be advised of the proposed works. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any councillor seek further clarification? Is there a mover for the...
Madam Mayor, before we move, I move that this motion, or let's say this position, be deferred due to the sensitivities of the residents' request, being they ask for speed humps rather than the crossing. I seek to have council officers engage with the community, get their opinions so we can do a best fit for that street, given it is a very small street.
Okay.
So I ask for the motion to be deferred until next meeting.
Okay, the motion before us has been for further consultation and for a deferment of this item. It's been moved by Councillor Hardy. Is there a seconder?
Madam Mayor, I would like to...
Now we're getting cluey because the microphone's... I did see Councillor Turner first, sorry. Okay, the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor Turner. All those in favour... does any councillor oppose deferring the motion? All those in favour? The motion's carried. Thank you. All right. We will now... Councillor Hardy?
Indirect.
Thank you. Okay. Now that Councillor Hardy has left the chambers, we will now move on to the item response to petition Hume Avenue, Melton South, speeding concerns. Our General Manager for Planning and Development, Mr. Luke Shannon, to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report also relates to a petition which was tabled at the April 2017 Ordinary Meeting of Council. The petition in effect sought that Council undertake vehicle speed surveys in Hume Avenue, Melton South, and install appropriate traffic calming measures to reduce vehicle speeds in this road. Councillors be aware that Hume Avenue runs between Exford Road and Rees Road, and it's a collector road, so it carries a significant amount of traffic servicing the much wider community. And if I can refer councillors to Appendix 1, there's a detailed plan indicating the location of the street relative to the wider street network. Council engineers have undertaken a two-week traffic survey, particularly at the eastern end of Hume Avenue, where there's no traffic calming measures. In other words, there's no roundabout, speed humps or the like. The western section of Hume Avenue is actually heavily treated with those types of features, and partly because western section is a bus route. So, Madam Mayor, the traffic counts were placed towards the eastern section of Hume Avenue in two particular locations, and as detailed in the report on page 37, the 85th percentile, so in other words, 85% of vehicles or less were travelling at in the order of between 55 and 54 kilometres per hour. So in other words, the majority of vehicles were exceeding the speed limit by in the order of 5 kilometres per hour. Under Council's traffic management policy, that does warrant undertaking works to try and mitigate speed levels. Madam Mayor, the report presents three options to Council on page number 37. First option is the provision of speed humps, and the details of where they would be located is outlined in the report. The second option is for two further roundabouts. The provision of roundabouts in this location is somewhat problematic because of the restricted width of the road reserve, so it's very difficult to provide for a properly constructed roundabout which has the effect of slowing down speed. The third alternative is the provision of modified T-intersections at the corner of Blackson Road and Hume Avenue and Murray Road and Lachlan Road. Whilst they would have some benefits, Madam Mayor, it's recommended that two speed humps be provided in the locations detailed within the report. Madam Mayor, the recommendation is as printed. When I find it again, sorry. And again, that would involve notifying the lead signatory on the petition of Council's proposed works, which are intended to occur, if approved, in the forthcoming financial year. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any Council seek further clarification on this item? Councillor Madeley.
Yes, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, we do have, as it mentions here, a capital works program, traffic management devices construction program. Bit of a mouthful. There is a hierarchy on that as well. If we were to fund this one, who would actually drop off out of that hierarchy? And was this tabled in the beginning to be on this Capital Works program list?
Through you, Madam Mayor, it was actually on our Capital Works plan residents had historically raised issues of concern. It's now culminated in a petition. However, residents often ring our engineering department and complain about particular streets. So this has been identified and is in the program, and we're recommending that it proceed as planned. Thank you.
So just to clarify, Madam Mayor, it was already in the program, ready to go.
That's correct, Madam Mayor.
I'm not seeking clarification on my own. I want to, Councillor Maley did ask the question how many would have missed out or as a result of this one going in. Are there any?
No, Madam Mayor, because the works were planned to occur in the forthcoming year, there is no other work that subsequently falls off the bottom of the program. Okay. If it were not budgeted for, if it hadn't been planned, then one other project would have fallen off the bottom, but that's not a relevant consideration in this situation.
Is there any other clarification? Is there a mover for the...
Madam Mayor, sorry, I'm not going to move it. I just have one more...
Clarification?
It says here, the ordinary meeting of council held on the 3rd of April 2017, a petition was tabled. Can you just remind me which council actually tabled that petition?
Madam Mayor, my recollection is it was Councillor Hardy, but I do stand to be corrected.
Thank you.
Okay, that's fine. No, that's cool. Thank you. Is there a mover and a second? If there's no further
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the motion, please.
That was Councillor Turner.
It was.
Madam Mayor, I would like to second it.
Councillor Kesich. The motion has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Kesich. Does any councillor oppose the recommendation? The motion has been, all those in favour of the motion. Could I call a division, please? All those in favour? Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Carley, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Turner, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Maidlick, Councillor Ibushi. The division's carried. Okay, could someone alert? Thank you, Ms. Thank you. We'll now move on to 12.5, response to notice of motion 454, construction and Toolumbale Township roads. And again, our GM for planning and development, Mr. Luke Shannon, to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. At the 6th of March 2017 ordinary meeting of Council, Council resolved that officers investigate the cost of sealing Creamery, Burton's and Mechanics roads in Toolumbale and provide a report to Council. That investigation has now occurred, Madam Mayor, and this is the report to Council as resolved by Council. Council will be well aware that the Toolumbale Township's a very small township, in essence a rural settlement, largely consisting of three key roads. Those roads are, as described in the resolution, Creamery Road, Mechanics Road and Burton's Road. They carry relatively light amounts of traffic, ranging between 65 and 230 vehicles per day. The road servicing the school in Creamery Road is obviously the busiest road, particularly during peak drop-off and pick-up times from school. The particulars of the traffic counts are provided within the body of the report, Madam Mayor. The three roads servicing the town actually provide direct access to only 29 properties. The majority of those are dwellings. However, there is also the Toolumbale Primary School, the Toolumbale and the Toolumbale Surf A, which are both located in Creamery Road. The road network, Madam Mayor, is entirely unsealed. There's open drains. There is, however, some concrete footpaths throughout the township and a limited degree of curb and channel, particularly in the provision of car parking spaces within the street directly adjacent to the school. The current regime of maintenance for the gravel roads is they are graded every 13 weeks, or more often if needed, and they're resheeted. In other words, additional gravel is brought in as required. I do note, Madam Mayor, that from time to time there are drainage issues in the town because the roads sit relatively low in the landscape and it's somewhat flat. Drainage runoff from the road can be somewhat problematic at times. Madam Mayor, the report outlines two options for council in terms of going forward. And a third option, I guess, is to leave the roads gravel as they are and have been, obviously, for many, many years. However, two viable options are presented in terms of the way forward. The first one is constructing the roads to a rural residential standard, and there's examples in the appendix, or appendix two shows a photograph of similar style streets which exist in the Melton Township, actually, which are constructed to that same standard. And what that means is that it's a sealed road surface, but open swale drains as distinct from curb and channel, limited off on-street footpaths, constructed footpaths, and just open drainage. Still a very serviceable treatment, and as I mentioned, actually provides that level of service is actually provided to quite a number of residential areas in the Melton Township. It's also, under that scenario, proposed to construct a roundabout at the three-way intersection, along with construction of the parking bays outside the primary school. The cost of those works, Madam Mayor, would be in the order of $1.59 or $1.6 million. And I should point out, is not budgeted in the proposed budget for the forthcoming year. The second option presented is to construct the road network to a full urban residential standard. So that would be sealed road with curb and channel, underground drainage, sealed footpaths, construction of the roundabout, as I've mentioned, which also applies to the earlier option. The cost of those works would be obviously significantly more, somewhere in the order of $2.43 million. The final issue, Madam Mayor, relates to the existing speed limits in the town. They're generally the default limit of 50 kilometres per hour, albeit adjacent to the school, it's a 40 kilometre per hour speed limit. And as detailed in the report on page 42, you can see that traffic speeds are actually relatively low for the town. There's obviously an issue with dust and the like, given the roads are gravel. Madam Mayor, I think one of the key issues that council will need to address in the event the roads are sealed, whether it's to a rural standard or to an urban standard, is that traffic speeds are likely to increase just because of the nature of the roads and inviting residents to drive faster, although it is acknowledged that those who largely use the streets are local residents and are therefore likely to hopefully respect the speed limit more than otherwise might occur. So, Madam Mayor, it's proposed, or it's recommended, that council endorse the option of a rural residential standard of construction, and that we embark on a consultation program with the residents to ensure that they are actually content with the proposed works. And I do again reiterate that there is no proposed budget, there is no work money allocated in the draft budget for any works in the forthcoming year. We would envisage that the forthcoming year would involve consultation and, as appropriate, commencement of some design process. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any councillor have any further questions?
In regards to option number two, I know the recommendation is option number one, but I know that in some parts of Cambridge Ward, particularly the Sugar Gum area, it is built, the road is built to a rural standard, and now we have issues. It would cost a lot more for council to go back up, rip up the roads and do curb and channel. I know it's a considerable amount, $80,000 extra. However, we as council always recommend to our, or we promote to our community residents to walk, even if it's halfway to school, or, you know, halfway is okay. Isn't it a small extra cost to put in as an investment to council and to our residents to go for option number two, Madam Mayor?
Through you, Madam Mayor, option two certainly is available to council. It is somewhat more expensive, but not ridiculously so. I think one of the reasons option one is potentially more viable, there's a couple of reasons actually, is largely to do with the amenity, the rural amenity of Toolan Vale. Certainly the community feedback we've received as a council over many, many years is the residents there really value the rural environment that they're in. and the slow traffic speeds and the ability for their children to walk to school in what will always be a very small hamlet. And I guess, Madam Mayor, one concern that might arise in the event that you had full curb and channel footpaths on both sides of the road is it really becomes an urbanised environment. If council is keen to pursue that as an option, then I would recommend that when we go back to the community for consultation that we provide them both options. I would suspect we would get mixed responses, but if council are of the view that that is a legitimate approach, option two, a full urban construction, that's something that you could put to the community, I would recommend with option one as well, and then see what the feedback is. And that would obviously warrant a future council report providing the outcomes of that consultation.
Just one of my concerns is that, Mr. Shannon, you did mention that if we construct even to a rural standard, speeds will increase, and that means that anyone that's walking or any kid, any child that's on a bike potentially, or even, you know, just getting around the area would be using now a rural road that's potentially more, you know, the cars would be faster, and that's just one of, I'm just, in hindsight, I wished sugar gum was, and this was before my time, you know, so it's kind of like, let's not do the same mistake again, considering that this is a much busier road than what sugar gum area and that surround is. So I'm just putting it out there, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Madelick.
Through you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Mendes.
I actually agree with Councillor Madelick in regards to the road construction, because I've had a recent experience with the another road, which is a bit different to the one you were talking about, where it was constructed to a rural standard and it's now falling apart. So I think spending that extra money might be something we might need to consider down the track. My main point to the officers is the consultation process. When will that take place and how?
Through you, Madam Mayor.
Do you want me to answer that, or do you want to go? No?
I'm quite... The consultation. Yeah. If I can perhaps respond to the consultation question. The details of that haven't yet been designed. We'd need to put careful thought into how we undertook that. We would need to go to the residents with a proposition, so I would expect we would need to do some high-level design based on whichever scenario council wishes to go with, so we could actually present an option or options to the community. So it's not something that would happen in the forthcoming weeks, but it would certainly be done through the forthcoming financial year or early in the forthcoming financial year, to put council in a strong position then when framing the budget for the following year to determine whether to allocate money to the work or otherwise.
Potentially, either with either option, it could go over a 2 year. I would think it's a 2 year project, so it'd be half 1 year, half the other, I would think.
Possibly.
Through you, Madam Mayor, it could be. You typically wish to construct roads outside of the winter period, but there's no reason why it can't be done over two financial years.
Has any other councillor got any clarification?
Yeah,
I want to ask a question.
Look, you're saying it could be done over a period of 2 years. Does that mean to say contractors would leave the project and come back? Because there is a cost if that happens.
Through you, Madam Mayor, there's two ways council could do that. You could either award two contracts, and I wouldn't recommend that because you lose the scales of economy. If it were to occur over two financial years, you would, despite what I just said about constructing during winter, you would award the contract at the time of the year that enabled works to commence in one financial year and then carry through as one project into the following financial year. But regrettably, that would involve some works over winter, so you'd certainly hoping it didn't rain too heavily.
I'm not allowed to ask a question, so I'm trying to get someone to ask it for me.
It's not really.
Through you, Madam Mayor. And it's something that I actually did write down, but I wasn't going to ask it because I thought it's actually taking place a lot at the moment now. But can we do the gravel upgrade more often than 13 weeks? Because my information that I've seen doesn't suggest 13 weeks is actually being done at this point in time.
Can we get a different cycle, sorry?
Yeah, through you, Madam Mayor, the current cycle, as I mentioned earlier, is once every 13 weeks. We can increase the frequency, but I'd recommend that we increase the frequency on an as-needs basis rather than just introducing a random number. my observations as recently as today is the roads are actually in pretty good condition. There were some minor drainage issues based on the current rain that we've had.
When were they last done?
I couldn't tell you, Madam Mayor, exactly when they were last done, but they're still in quite good condition, albeit dusty because it's gravel. Mm-hmm. But I undertake to continue to observe and undertake resheeting or grading works as often as needed.
Madam Mayor, finally, from me, if we were to offer if the ward, because I'm not going to move this because it's not my ward, so I don't feel right moving it. I'll allow the ward councillors to do so. So if we were to consider both options, would the wording sort of be along the lines of, one, refer the construction of Creamery Road, Mechanics Road and Burton's Road to the council's capital works program for funding, and two, undertake consultation with residents who abut Creamery Road, Mechanics Road and Burton's Road with regard to the construction of these roads and offer them both options for consideration? Would that sort of be along the lines of what the wording would sound like, whoever moves the motion? I'm just offering suggestions to the ward councillors, that's all.
If any other councillors seek further clarification, is there a mover for the recommendation?
I'd like to move that recommendation, and I'd like to thank the officers for their report.
So we're just removing the words to a rural residential standard, and then both options be put up for consideration. Councillor Mendes has moved the following motion.
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Okay. The motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Mendes, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you.
Can I ask for a division?
A division's been called. Councillor Madelick has called for a division. All those in favour of the motion? Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Carley, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Turner, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Madelick and Councillor Abushi. Motion's carried. Thank you. Okay, we will now move on to item number 12.6. It is the response to notice of motion 466, pedestrian crossing on College Street near Holland Way, Caroline Springs. Again, Mr. Shannon, our General Manager for Planning and Development, to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Council will recall at the 6th of March 2017 ordinary meeting, Council resolved that Council engineers investigate pedestrian crossing options on Holland Way near the intersection of Holland Way and College Street in Caroline Springs and present the findings to Council. Madam Mayor, this report is that assessment and the subsequent report to Council. If I can refer councillors to the plan at Appendix 1, you can see a good aerial photograph showing the general layout of the part of the Caroline Springs Town Centre, including the location of the three key schools in the town centre. The crossing in question is shown circled on the left side of the page, marked Holland Way Crossing. There is an existing formal school crossing further to the east on College Street, which is also circled. Council's engineers have undertaken a pedestrian count at that location in May of this year, and you can see the numbers detailed on page 48 of the officer's report. The number of students crossing at that location on the day of observation were 10 primary school children and 12 secondary school children, and it's quite apparent that the children are coming largely from the areas north of Holland Drive and seeking to cross College Street and walk to the whichever school that they attend during the day. During the same period of time, time of crossing, there were 353 vehicles, so it's a relatively busy street, as you'd expect, because it services the much wider area well to the east of the school, of the school locations. Madam Mayor, the potential to provide a dedicated zebra crossing or a priority pedestrian crossing is not really viable at that location. There is currently the potential to cross the street at that location. The curbing and the crossing is in place, so it's quite legitimate for residents and students to cross at that location, albeit they don't have priority under the current arrangements. It's not viable, as I mentioned, to have a zebra crossing where pedestrians have priority because it's so located so closely to Holland Way. It wouldn't meet the Australian standards. And the reason for that is that as drivers are exiting Holland Way to head east, their main focus is on traffic coming from the west, and once they've seen that they're free to pull out onto College Street, they're immediately upon the pedestrian crossing. So it's actually an unsafe situation. So, Madam Mayor, what is recommended is that two things are recommended. Firstly, a sign directing students to the east to alert them of the formal pedestrian crossing located adjacent to the Catholic Regional College. But probably more importantly is to extend the 40 kilometre an hour speed restriction to Brunton Avenue, further to the west of the existing crossing, to slow vehicles down as they approach the crossing in question. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any council seek further clarification on this item? I'm not talking into the mic. Can everybody hear me still? Yep, good. No clarification. Is there a mover for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I would like to move.
You'd like to move?
Thank you,
Councillor Kesich.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to second, and if the mover is happy to include a dot point to review the matter again in 12 months to see if the signage has been successful.
Happy with that, yeah. Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I believe that this microphone doesn't work. Working? Something wrong.
You've got a nice loud voice, Councillor Kesich. Okay, with an additional third dot point for a review. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Kesich, seconded by Councillor Maidlick.
Madam Mayor, I might have one extra dot point if I may.
Okay.
Thank you. Firstly, Madam Mayor, may I say thank you to Councillor Bushy for bringing this item before us, and that's why it's in our council agenda. So thank you for bringing it to this council's attention. And I just want to add, if it could be an extra dot point, that perhaps we could also write to the schools and let them know of the changes that we're proposing to do here. I think it's important that the schools put it in their newsletters and let the parents know, because 353 vehicles, this is a very busy road, and I think that there has to be that form of communication between the school and the parents and letting them know. So perhaps we as a council can write to the schools that are on College Street, which Catholic Regional College and Lakeview Senior College.
Thank you. Firstly, Councillor Kesich and Councillor Maidlick, are you happy with that fourth dot point?
Yes, Madam Mayor.
And I'll do something I'm not allowed to do, but Councillor Bush, are you happy with that too?
Sorry?
Are you happy with that as well?
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Okay, we have the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Kesich, seconded by Councillor Maidlick, with the two extra dot points. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. 12.7, response to notice of motion 474, assessment of Moreton Homestead for major events. General Manager for Corporate Services, Mr. Peter Bean, to give Mr. Shannon a break. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and certainly Mr. Shannon's well-deserved rest, I believe, after his efforts this evening so far. I present this evening a response to notice of motion 474 to Council for consideration at the ordinary meeting of Council held on 1 May. It was stated in the adopted motion that Council officers conduct a detailed assessment of the capacity of the Moreton Homestead site to host a significant event with particular reference to parking, access and facilities. As way of background for Council, Moreton Homestead is a rare example of an early 20th century farmstead. Located at the heart of the Taylors Hill community, the property is of historical significance. Council has developed and adapted the farmhouse, conserving the integrating aspects of all original features into the landscape design, where council programs and small community activities are now taking place in the building. In 2010, Council spent $2.3 million developing the entire site, having received $1.8 million in funding and invested over $500,000 of its own funds to restore the property and surrounds to an accessible and usable community hub, which now provides services to people living with disability, careers, volunteers and community groups, as well as multi-purpose spaces for other various organisations to use. In 2015, Melton Council's second men's shed officially opened, adding another element to this historic site. It is the opinion of officers that Morden Homestead is currently underutilised and would endorse further use of the site for future community events as such. In addressing the three particular key areas outlined in the notice of motion, in relation to parking for any such events and functions held on site, there is currently provision for 60 vehicles on site. In Appendix 1, it sets out an aerial map of the homestead, and the grassed area to the left of the homestead could also avail itself for up to 100 additional cars if that was not being used for any specific function. Alternatively, to expand the area further, roadside parking on the homestead side of Morton Boulevard remains an option for approximately 40 additional cars. And in the facility that we're in this evening, the car park adjacent out the front of here, which is some 350 metres from the Morton Homestead site, would also provide 150 additional car parking spaces if that was required. Whilst it's not actively promoted and relatively considered, parking on the nature strip of Calder Park Drive is an option. However, it's not suggested as a first option and can potentially create a traffic hazard from cars accessing and egressing that area, so it would require a traffic management plan for anything of such nature to be activated. In relation to access to the event site is excellent, with the two main driveways from Morton Boulevard and Calder Park Drive allowing easy access to the event site. This is also highlighted in the area of consideration for emergency vehicles and people with disabilities that would require direct drop-off and pick-up from this location. Pedestrian access is enhanced by the additional pedestrian gates within the dry stone walls along Williams Lane and Lynette Court. Public transport is heightened with a direct bus route stop approximately 20 metres from the entrance along Calder Park Drive, and bus routes run from Water Gardens train station to Caroline Springs train station on the hour. During a significant event, residents in the immediate surrounds may experience some accessibility concerns in the case of road closures. If this were the case, as standard with many other of our significant events, such as Somersault and Caroline Springs Town Centre, a communications plan would be required to ensure residents were given ample notice of any disruptions and their concerns addressed. In the final of the three key matters highlighted for consideration are the facilities. There are two specific facilities located on site, with unisex accessible bathrooms available in the men's shed facility, and two female bathrooms and one male bathroom, and a unisex accessible bathroom located in the main homestead. They would be more than adequate for an event up to 300 people. However, anything exceeding this would be recommended that additional toilet facilities would be needed. It's also thought that the existing kitchen facilities provided in the homestead would serve as a event headquarters and overflow area for staff should the need avail. Power is limited on this site, so any significant event would require additional power outlet as such. As previously stated, the basic requirements to host an event of up to 300 people is achievable without installing any additional temporary infrastructure or traffic management elements. However, it would just need to be considered in moving forward from there. With this in mind, Madam Mayor, I present to Council the report as printed and as directed by myself, with a recommendation printed on page 53 that Council note the report and assessment of facilities at Morton Homestead. Thank you.
Okay. Does any Councillor seek further clarification on this item? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I'd like to move the recommendation.
Is the recommendation seconded?
I'd like to second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor. And can I just say thank you to Mr. Bean for this report. I know that Australia Day celebrations next year will be held here for the first time. And looking at this report and seeing exactly how the Morton Homestead could be used is great. And I look forward to more events at the Morton Homestead. So thank you.
Okay, the motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Mendes, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. Item 12.8, response to notice of motion 475, assessment of defibs in council kindergartens and community hubs. I said it twice really well before. This report's to be presented by Mr. Bean.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And the word is defibrillators.
Yes, I know.
I'm sure you do. Madam Mayor, this again is the notice of motion that was adopted by council at the meeting held on this occasion on the 1st of May. And it reads as follows. And it is the council prepare a report that investigates the costs of installing life-saving defibrillators at all council kindergartens and community hubs. Since 2010, council has had a program of installing defibrillators in existing council facilities on an annual basis, and this has predominantly been done implementing two defibrillators per year. 17 defibrillators have been installed to date, and for all new community centres being developed, our capital projects team includes a defibrillator in the building requirements during construction. The installation program has used a risk-based approach to identify sites where a defibrillator is warranted. Sites that have been assessed as high risk are those with high capacity or high visitor or staff numbers, sites that cater for older residents, and sports and recreation facilities. Sites with medium risk are those that can accommodate larger groups of adults, and children have been seen as a low priority group in regards to the potential need for defibrillators in a medical emergency. And this is a view that we have sought and has been supported by Life Saving Victoria. Based on the notice of the motion adopted by council, a review of all kindergartens and community hubs that have not had defibrillators installed has been undertaken. There are 32 kindergartens and community hubs within the municipality without defibrillators. One kindergarten is not council run. Six have only a very small, often to be considered an insignificant, hireable space. And 13 house only children's services, so i.e. they are not used by other community or user groups, and there are very few adults on site. So therefore the outcome of that on the balance of the 32 flagged facilities is that there are 12 kindergartens and community hubs without a defibrillator that potentially warrant one based on our risk assessments previously. Should we proceed in this matter, and it is what is recommended by staff, 12 extra units for the sites used by community groups would require an installation cost of $45,600 and would incur an additional annual maintenance cost of approximately $2,040. On page 64 in the options area, we have provided three options for consideration, which all obviously one is to install all of them together. One is to install one per year as we go forward, or two per year, and the other is to install all of them in one hit. Madam Mayor, we are endorsing the motion of the council in installing 12 additional defibrillators in council kindergartens and community hubs. However, the recommendation printed on page 63 is recommending that they be done over the next 3 years at an annual installation cost of $15,200, obviously in addition to the existing program that we have. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any council seek further clarification on this item?
Through you, Madam Mayor, we do undertake defibrillator training, but if you talk to emergency services, they always instruct you to call 000 and you will be instructed over the phone as to how to use the defibrillator machine. So whilst we would ensure that key staff at certain facilities do have the relevant training, it would not be our intention to train all staff in the use of these sorts of things because we have 000 as our access.
That if anyone has their first basic first aid training, they do get trained for defibs, and it talks you through it anyway. So there's quite a lot of people, just normal residents, not staff particularly, that do have just their first aid certificate.
Thank you, Councillor Madley, for that statement. No, darling. No, you don't need to. Thank you.
Would you agree, Mr. Bean?
I would. Thank you.
I would, yes.
Any further questions or seek clarification? No. But thank you for that clarification,
I'd like to move this item. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
I will now call for a mover. Councillor Ibushi has Thank you. I could barely see you out of that corner.
I'd happy to second it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Madlick. The motion before us, councillors, has been moved by Councillor Ibushi, seconded by Councillor Madlick. Does any councillor oppose the recommendation or the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you.